experienced physical therapists who have provided quality care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com. And a good Saturday morning to you. In fact, this might be the best part of your whole weekend right now in terms of where we are weather-wise. Blake Cripps along with Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood in the penalty box today. Tim, boy, it's one of those days where they always say, what is it, bread, milk, and toilet paper?
That's exactly right.
Sometimes I wonder, if you look at the forecast, it's supposed to be bad today and tomorrow, and you look at what people buy and how the stores and shelves just get obliterated, and you're like, I'm sorry, are you preparing for winter in Emporia, Kansas, or Winterfell?
Yeah. Well, people have a tendency to maybe,
overdo it.
This a bit.
I would say, yeah.
I guess whatever eases your anxiety.
Like, how much toilet paper are you going to go through this weekend?
Yeah, but not COVID. As we listen to Dylan read off the forecast, it's not a pretty forecast,
Dylan,
obviously.
Dylan, that was the most awful forecast I've ever heard you read.
It was bad.
I don't like it at all.
Wow. That one was hard to read. That's a hard one to read. I think that's one of the longest ones I've ever done.
I mean, yeah, when they're talking about it, that's when they get really long, is when you have a winter storm warning for that, which almost the entire listening area, I think pretty much everybody except for Greenwood County.
It's everybody.
It's on Greenwood now?
Yeah, everybody chasing Greenwood until 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay, so they added Greenwood County.
Yeah.
They just didn't want them to didn't want to leave you out.
Yeah, I want you to feel included with the rest of us.
Yeah, come on over and enjoy the fun that we're about to have.
Yeah, speaking of the bread, milk, and toilet paper, if you do need those things and don't want to mess with weather, your window is beginning to close here. So
it's probably going to be a good end. Yeah, the thing is, coming in, I didn't think it was supposed to start already, but there is drizzle coming down.
Yes, there is.
Now, it is not freezing. I wipe it off the car. It's not freezing at all, but it'll be telling how when we go out to the cars after the show how that is, and if there's any scraping required. I guess we're going to find out. On the show coming up today, we will be talking Emporia High Swimming with their boys swimming coach Phil Metz, and also Emporia State Softball. Yes, it is already time to start previewing Emporia State Softball. Tim, we're less than a month away. Less than a month away from the start of Lady Hornet Softball
season.
And
the weather will be gorgeous.
Yeah, it may be.
You never know.
It may be.
Yeah, it's crazy to think you'll play. Of course, it's the way the schedule has been for a long time. They start in February.
It's the only way you can get all the games they want to play in and get them in by the time they want to get them in. And they could extend the schedule. I don't know if I would even be that upset about it, just to put it more in the summer, and there would be a lot less of a crossover season if they started in, March. And then obviously you'd be playing in May, which – for softball, their regular season doesn't even go into May, so I feel like that could work for softball pretty well. But as we always say in the baseball-softball business, the schedule is only a suggestion of when these games will appear.
Played.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. It is only a suggestion. But they're supposed to be in the Branson Leadoff Classic. Now, last year they played those games in Minnesota, but those were indoors. I don't think they have an indoor facility in Branson. Maybe they do. I don't know, but
I don't know of one.
We'll get the latest from Coach Rosales and preview that here coming up. Do we have Main Street Athletes of the Week this week?
We are off until next week.
Okay, so Emporia State Athletes of the Week will return next week here on the show. Of course, we would remind you that you can get your submissions in at kvoe.com/athlete, or you can just call the station 342-1400 during business hours, or you can email Dylan directly, Sherwood, D@KVOE.com, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. We pick an Emporia High and an area athlete each and every week of the season, leading all the way up to the state track and field championships, which we do have coverage planned on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. So
it's going to be a busy weekend.
It will be a busy – it always is a busy weekend, for especially the way that we cover it, which I would say is unparalleled in the state of Kansas. Well, guys, obviously, we're going to have Mitch on today. That's the plan, to have Mitch on, Voice of the Chiefs, but – kind of going to be a little bit different talking about a game that doesn't really matter that much in the scheme of themes, at least for Kansas City, Chiefs at Denver. For Denver, it means the world.
It's huge.
Yeah.
They win, they're in the playoffs. They lose, they need help.
Yeah. And that some of the help that they would need may come today with the Bengals playing. Yep. It's the Bengals and Miami that are still in the hunt, so to speak. We'll have two NFL games for you on KVOE this afternoon, part of a Saturday doubleheader on KVOE. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. I also want to tell people, hey, if you can't travel and all that stuff, we will have an updated listings of closings for you and cancellations. We've got a new page for that as well. Very easy to remember. KVOE.com/closings. KVOE.com/closings.
You know,
how easy is that?
You know, I was, Aaron Harder sent out kind of like the year in review on the website.
Sure.
And I saw KVOE.com/listen was utilized pretty good.
Yes,
This one will definitely be pretty much utilized.
A lot of hits.
KVOE.com/closings. That's a plural. Closings for all the latest information. The guys in the news department will be updating it throughout the weekend. For KU basketball, they will be in action on Sunday against Central Florida. But, boy, kind of a dud last couple weeks here, guys.
We watched them lose to Creighton. We watched them lose to Missouri, and we thought that was bad. I don't know if anyone watched the West Virginia game amongst us.
Did.
I watched a little bit of it. It was worse.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bad. No energy.
Uh-huh.
Offensively, they were terrible in the first half.
Yeah, the first half, people complained about calls at the end of the game.
No.
I watched that last play and, whatever. The thing is, like, you can't score. Well, they score 20 points.
20 points in the half.
You score 20 points and a half. Like, I'm sorry. That's on you.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about the official. No. That's on you.
They were bad. They have a lot of work to do.
I agree. I think offensively they've been extremely inconsistent. There have been guys that have come in through the transfer portal that, and again, people, I don't like saying, it's uncomfortable for me to talk about collegiate athletes this way, because I've always been, you never boo your team at home guy. And listen, I was at several KU football games where if there was ever a time that you should boo a team at home, it would be there at KU.
Yeah.
But still, I don't like hearing boos on your home team, period. The end. But with these guys getting, we're talking about $1 million annual salaries now.
Yep.
Kind of being professionals, like, these guys are not earning their NIL contracts.
It's changed the perception of college athletics.
I think for fans it has big time, Dylan, in terms of how they treat the athletes.
Yeah, it's big, and you're going to start hearing the complaining about Hunter Dickinson, overrated and everything.
We might. I don't think Hunter's been the problem necessarily, but there are others. I mean, Storr's
not performing. Ryland Griffin hasn't performed like he did at Alabama last year.
Not even close. And the pressure is different at KU.
And as much as I'm a fan of KJ Adams, KJ is limited in what he can do on the basketball.
Yeah, his offensive, he's not yet developed a really great jump shot,
no,
which I think he needs in order. I mean, if he could just knock down a mid-range jumper, I know that people don't want to talk about mid-range jumpers. It's either you get dunks or threes.
Right.
But I think in college, there's still going to be room for that. people are seeing how unentertaining the NBA is right. when you just miss threes all day in a three-point shooting contest. And I think that that's open, especially with his quickness, just two quick dribbles, pull up at the elbow for a jumper. If he could add that to his repertoire, he's going to be a really improve his offensive game so much by doing that.
When I brought this up with Dylan, I said it somewhat facetiously. I certainly don't think Bill Self would be on the hot seat, but if you go through this season and you're, you know, maybe fourth, fifth, sixth in the Big 12, and you lose for the third straight year in the first weekend of the tournament, at what point
people will start?
Do you begin? Yeah. Okay, that's 3 years in a row now.
Blake Cripps will not be that guy, but you know there
will be some.
I remember after two straight first round losses. I think those were two straight first round losses before they won the national title the next year. And there were people like, I don't like this. So it's always going to happen.
Now the K-State people are pretty happy right now. They were disappointed early. They wanted Jerome Tang gone. I lost some of them. Did.
Yes.
They sit here 6-5.
Now,
they go beat Cincinnati, and all of a sudden,
yeah, everything is right in the little apple.
You just
apple.
Need to go get a win. So we'll see what KU does tomorrow.
Now, Kansas State, they're playing today on Country 101.7, but they're in a situation where Kansas State has to be great in Big 12 play because their non-conference body of work, they're not getting in on that.
No, they
may have to win 13, 14 games
and
in the Big 12.
I think they're at TCU.
They're at TCU.
I think they do well typically at TCU.
Yeah, it's those lights. It's play. That light, those lights and that floor.
Maybe. So we'll see. We'll have that game for you on Country 101.7. Of course, Turnpike Tussle Day, yep. Washburn Hate Week here in Emporia for the Lady Hornets and Hornets. Washburn coming to town. I'll have those games for you coming up 1 o'clock for the pregame show. The men tipping at 1:40 today because of the MIAA basketball television game of the week. Then the women will follow, and those games are still on as scheduled. We soldier on. The Turnpike Tussle turns for no one.
Yeah.
In Emporia.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and squeeze in our first break. We're coming back with Phil Metz. We're talking Emporia High boys swimming. They're about set to get their schedule started here, coming back after the Christmas break. Next week, the plan is we will have both basketball coaches on. So Coach Scott, Coach Baldwin, they will be back to get us back up to speed as the Emporia High Spartans and Lady Spartans basketball teams. They are back in action next week. And, of course, we'll have majority of their games on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. Still a couple of times that we're looking at for the Glacier's Edge tournament, and there's a boys game that's at a different locale on the same day. I don't know why they didn't just play that on Tuesday. Like, they might school.
They always split up during the midseason tournament.
Yeah, but at Topeka West, we always played on that Tuesday. We never played on a Friday when
the
girls were at the tournament.
The last couple of years, they were supposed to play like Manhattan the last on Tuesday. I don't know why the change about this.
So we'll see how that works out in terms of that schedule. And there will be a couple of times we'll have to kick them over to mix. But we will be, of course, the voice of the Spartans here with Dylan on KVOE. So we will take a timeout. We'll get our Emporia High interview in and get you previewed for boys swimming. Phil Metz, the new head coach for Emporia High. He's coming up next here on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. In Division II football, Ferris State won their third national championship in the past four seasons. The Bulldogs from Michigan dominated number one seed Valdosta State 49-14 in the title game. They were led by quarterback Trinidad Chambliss, who accounted for five total touchdowns in the victory. Ferris State is coached by Tony Anise, who spent decades working in high school football. Now, after 12 seasons with the Ferris State College program, he's built them into a D2 dynasty.
You know, I've coached long enough. I think this is my 37th year as a head coach. I can put it in perspective knowing that you're going to have heartbreak in your career and you're going to have elation in your career. And I just feel fortunate to have this kind of elation and see the elation on my guys' faces.
We'll check in on the D1 football postseason coming up next on This Week in the NCAA.
Want to keep your gas-powered engines running like new? Stables proprietary formulas are proven by third-party testing to outperform the competition in keeping fuel fresh, preventing corrosion, and cleaning the entire fuel system. With Stable, you can have confidence you are doing the right thing for your engine's long-term health. Just pour into your gas can or fuel tank, then top off with fresh fuel. At every fill-up or when you store, start with Stable. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Play action. Levitt looks. Fires for the end zone. It's intercepted. Picked off. Intercepted. Andrew Makuba. This ball game is over. Texas is going to the Final Four. The Longhorns win it in double overtime. Craig Way on Learfield as Texas defeated Arizona State in the Peach Bowl quarterfinal. The Longhorns will face Ohio State next Friday after the Buckeyes dominated top seed Oregon in the Rose Bowl. In the other semifinal, Penn State will face Notre Dame. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. And we are getting set for the seasons to resume for the Spartans and Lady Spartans as we're talking Emporia High Athletics. Today, our Emporia High guest is Phil Metz. He is the first-year boys swimming coach for the Emporia High Spartans, who get their season started here in just a little bit. Coach, really appreciate you being on. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
Just talk to us about your process here in terms of taking over the Spartan swimming program. How's that gone for you?
So far, it's gone really well. Just, you know, it's a learning experience, and we're all getting there. But, yeah, it's gone well. The swimming part's not a problem. I've been doing that for a really long time. I started as a kid swimming, and I've been coaching probably off and on since 2004, something like that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask to give us our listeners a bio of Phil Metz in terms of experience and whatnot so they get a little more familiar with who you are.
I started swimming when I was about 8, swam through high school, stopped, got married, had a couple kids. They decided they liked to swim. They needed a coach, so I stepped in off and on with the club team, and I've been doing it ever since. Started in high school. This is my 9th year, so it would have been, 15, 16 I started in high school as the assistant and took over this year.
Coach, you inherited a good young core, and Logan Wojak, a senior, but it was just an easy transition for what you had back, and you knew what a lot of the kids had coming into this season.
The nice part about it being there before is you got to get to know the kids that you had, and so you kind of already walked in with at least a base knowledge of where to start. And the only real questions you had was who's going to be the new guys coming in and where do they fit in. And so we've been working on how to fit those guys together, been working on a few other things, just kind of getting all that together. The great part about it is the kids are really good, and they're good kids, and so we don't have a lot of issues, and they take direction and instructions, and so it's been a really fun year this year.
Phil Metz is our guest. He is the Emporia High boys swimming coach. Talk us through some of those key returners that you're hoping are going to win some races for you this year.
Well, as we said, Logan, he's going to step in. We've got his consideration times in the 50 and the 100, so we're just looking for him to take that down and closer and get him qualified is what we're hoping to be. Hopefully we get that done here in the next month or so. We've got Luke Marshall. He's going to be also on that relay team that we had. He's got his consideration time, and we want to get him closer to his 50. And he's got his consideration in his 50 free. We want him to get closer to his state time, so that's kind of where we're looking at that. We've got our 200 free relay. We've got those two guys, and we've got a couple sophomores. We've got Colin Moody and Beckett Schultz are both on that relay team that's also qualified. And so those guys, we're looking for them to step up, and hopefully we can get those two guys with their consideration times before the year's out, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, along those same lines, maybe talk about some kids that you hope will step in now and fill in some of the gaps that you may have needed to be filled.
Well, and that's where Beckett and Colin has come from. Last year we had a really large core of seniors, and they were really pretty fast. And so these two guys stepped up, and they've just slid right into those relay places where we needed them, and they've done really well with it.
How big was Thursday for you guys to win that whole meet? Kind of a smaller meet than what you normally see, but a good way to start 2025.
It was an excellent way to start 2025. For us as a team, to get any win is really, really good. We typically swim against teams that have kids that swim year-round. That's their sport. That's all they do. And so for us to come in and win a meet is really fantastic for us. And for the kids to have that feeling of success that we won, and so they're really excited about it when we left yesterday, or I guess it was Thursday, but they were really pumped about the whole thing too.
Phil Metz, our guest, he is the head swimming coach for the Emporia High Spartans. You mentioned having guys that are doing this all year round versus some of the guys that you have, which are more all-year athletes encompassing some other sports for Emporia High. Obviously, in some sports, swimming would be one of the few ones maybe left that where it puts you maybe at some sort of a disadvantage, but I know that for the entire student-athlete experience, you love to see guys that are out for other sports, playing a sport, you know, representing the red and black in the fall and representing the red and black and something else in the spring. You know, how important is that just for the entire athletic department to try to get kids out, whether they're a Spartan or Lady Spartan, for something every single month of the year if they would like to be involved?
The nice thing about swimming is it's one of those sports that it helps all the other sports you play. So we've had baseball players come in, and they swim over the winter because it protects their shoulders, because they work their shoulders all year round. And so when they go to pitch and throw, they're building those shoulder muscles up to protect that shoulder. When they play baseball, they do better. They throw faster. They can do these things. Our cross-country and track guys, they come in. We can still get the conditioning they need, albeit in a little different way.
Sure.
But it still helps them when they get ready to go do those other sports and other things. And so how we kind of look at swimming at Emporia High, because we don't have those year-round athletes, is if we can help those other sports with what we do and still have a success in where we're at, then we consider that a win all the way around.
Give us a preview of the league. Is it the usual suspects that people will be chasing?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at the usual suspects, Manhattan, Junction City, you know, Washburn Rule, those guys. We're going to see Manhattan, not Manhattan, but we'll see the others this Thursday. And so we'll get a good view on where they stand and where we're at with them. So,
and how's the preparation going to be for the guys heading into next Thursday's meet? Another home meet, so kind of that home pool advantage and knowing they want to continue on improving those times.
The guys aren't going to like to hear this, but it's going to be hard. We're gonna push them really, really hard this week. This is a great meet, and I really want to see how they do, but I'm not looking, and neither are they, looking for Thursday. We're looking for the middle of February. That's where we want to be, and so it's going to be a little rough, and they know that. And I told them when they walked on the deck the first time that it's not going to be easy, and we're not looking for swim meets that are going to happen like Thursday. We're looking for league swim meets and state swim meets. And so we're going to swim hard, and they know it's coming, and it's all right.
Well, final question for you, Coach. What overall are your goals for this season? You've mentioned, okay, we want to get some of these guys down to their state consideration times. Do you judge, or will you judge, now that you're the head coach, will you judge the success of a season by the medals that you win at the end of the year or by the number of guys that you get into the state meet? How do you put together a goal for the season? Not that you have to put a number on it. I always say that. Some coaches don't like to do that. Don't know how you feel about it, but how do you set your goals, and what are your goals for your first season?
My goals, swimming is a little different than some sports, right? You know your goals. You're going to go out and win your basketball games and football games. Swimming is a little different because it's all about time, and it's not time against, you're not racing anybody else but yourself. And so my goal for my kids is I want them to walk on, and I want the freshmen that are just new or the new guys that have never done it before, I want them to see success by showing those times dropping and falling. And then my older guys, I want to see them getting closer and closer to where they want to be, which is those state and state consideration times. And so as a successful season, if we can keep progressing toward that, and I can take some of those younger kids and work them into some of these places where we're going to be losing people, like next year we'll be losing Logan. And so that's kind of where we're hoping to push this.
Phil Metz, head boys swimming coach at Poria High. When's your next meet?
Thursday, 4 o'clock.
Thursday, 4 o'clock, and where is that?
That'll be here at home.
Here at home, so Thursday at 4 o'clock. Hopefully the water in the pool doesn't freeze with the storm coming in, we hope. But get out and support the Spartans there in the Emporia High pool. Coach, have a great rest of the year. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
We will have a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk Emporia State softball with Lady Hornet head coach April Rosales. She is next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBonAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
I'm Jim Basswell. For the first time since 2000, the NBA had a game featuring two teams riding win streaks of at least nine straight.
Bounce passes, Aaron Lichey, the steal. Across the timeline, serving. Left wing, Wiggins fires another three-pointer. Yes, 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 Aaron Wiggins, don't be so mean. Splashing left and right. Four threes in the quarter. Timeout, Knicks.
Indeed, as heard on WWLS 98.1, the sports animal Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at 33. Thunder rallied in the fourth quarter for their 14th straight win, 117-107 over the Knicks. Aaron Wiggins, 15 of his 19 in that final period when OKC outscored New York 37-19. Evan Mobley, 34 points, 10 rebounds. Cavs ran their winning streak to 9 straight, beating the Mavericks 134-122. Derek White, 23. Celtics over the Rockets, 109-86. Victor Wembanyama, 35 points, 18 rebounds. Spurs over the Nuggets, 113-110. Nikola Jokic, 41 points, 18 rebounds, and 9 assists in a loss. LeBron scored 30, surpassing Michael Jordan for the most 30-point games in NBA regular season in history as the Lakers blow out the Hawks. C.J. McCollum highlighting a career-high 50 points with 10 three-pointers. Pelicans snapped an 11-game losing streak, 132-120 over the Wizards. And Tristan Da Silva scored a career-high 25. Magic over the Raptors, 106-97. The Miami Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler for 7 games, say they will seek to trade him. The suspension was for contract detrimental to the team over the course of the season, especially over the last few weeks. College basketball, Cam Jones had 22, 9 rebounds and 5 assists. Number 8, Marquette passed Creighton 79-71. Michigan State held off Ohio State 69-62. Sam Reinhart, Anton Lundell in a shootout. Panthers over the Penguins from the NHL 3-2. Oilers take the Ducks 3-2.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold at $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by longbineauto.com. We are here to talk Emporia State softball. Yes, even with all the winter weather coming in, it's the perfect time of year to talk softball, and we are less than a month away from Lady Hornets softball getting started in 2025. The Lady Hornets 31-20 last year, 14-12 in the MIAA, and we are joined by head coach April Rosales on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. Coach Rosales, have you battened down the hatches for the winter storm?
We have. We've got two sick children, so we had to do it a little bit early.
Okay. Well, sorry to hear that, but great to hear your voice again. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Can you give us a recap of 2024, 31-20? Like I mentioned, a winning record in the MIAA, a really slow start for you guys, and then a 15-game winning streak, and then obviously MIAA play was up and down for you guys. Overall, what were your thoughts on 2024?
Well, that I have great assistants, first of all. I was obviously on maternity leave. But no, they did a great job stepping in and you know, in their first year being back at Emporia for Coach Hill and Dustin just being at Emporia State. You know, I was able to turn it over to them and fully trust that we were going to go in a good direction. And, you know, we did. We started off really slow in Minnesota. That was the one time I got to be there last year. And you know, I felt like our response to that was really good, and that 15-game win streak helped us kind of set the tone for the season, and I think that the competitiveness, the fieriness that they showed the rest of the year was all developed kind of within that 15-game streak, so it helped them get over the hump and get into the NCAA tournament, and, you know, they fought their butts off there at the tournament and just obviously played some really good competition like we do day in and day out.
What about carryover into this season from last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the attitude will be there for those that were there. We're very inexperienced, though, this season just because we graduated 8 and they were all starters. So, you know, we're as much as we have returners coming back, we have, I think it's 12, you know, none of them started a game except for maybe one. And it wasn't a consistent start either, so those are things that we're going to have to work through, especially early on. We're going to start at a new tournament down in Branson at the end of the month, and, you know, it'll be one of those things that we're going to see what we have right away because we have no other choice. And same thing with the pitching staff. You know, they're all 3 returners, but, you know, it's a new year, and you never know what you're going to get. So hopefully that first weekend will show us a lot, and we can kind of groove and move and improve from there.
Coach, what were some bright spots during fall ball?
Freshman coming in from the Austin area, Sydney Wagner. However, over a break, she was in a car accident, and so I still haven't got to see her back on campus yet. So for me, it's going to be really important to kind of see where Sid is because she was kind of one of those kids that was going to be at the top of the lineup and in a starting shortstop probably as a freshman. So just seeing where that is when we get back, and it sounds like recovery has gone fairly well. We've got a transfer in the outfield in Taryn Burkhart that super fast, had over, I think it was 38 stolen bases last year for Johnson County, and so that'll help us with our speed game that we've always had, and has made some tremendous plays this fall in the outfield and ended up being our leadoff by the end of the fall as well. So I think those two are going to be, you know, if we can get them going, especially early on in the game, I think they're going to set the tone to see what's going on the rest of the way through.
We're talking with April Rosales. She is the head softball coach for the Lady Hornets. I've got two questions in a row here for you, Coach. First of all, you mentioned the trust of your assistants, and it was so much fun doing pregame, postgame with Coach Hill last year. She's such a great talker, such a great character. You couldn't have had a better person to have in charge for you. I just wanted to ask how that coach's office kind of bonded together with you being away. For people who didn't remember or didn't know or forgot, Coach Rosales welcomed a new member to her family, and so she was on maternity leave, and so Coach Hill was the player kind of running things in from a day to day. And how much did that kind of build you up as a head coach in terms of being able to trust and delegate and designate and let people take over while you were away?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's kind of that's how I've done it in my I think this is year 10 now, just because we've only had graduate assistants. So if I was going to be gone, I kind of had to trust in someone. And to be able to trust somebody that was my best friend when we played together back in the early 2000s, I mean, that was just something that became a lot easier. And when she got back on campus last August, just going through practices and stuff with her again, it was kind of like riding a bike in that, you know, we kind of have always had the same philosophies. We've always worked very hard and very well together. She was a third baseman. I was a shortstop. So we were on the same side of the field as players. And, you know, that bond that we created there, I think helped us to be able to trust each other last fall as well. And, you know, by the end of the fall season, I was trying to turn things over to them already just so that they would know what it looked like and feel like and that kind of thing. So I think it was kind of a combination of, you know, she has a ton of head coaching experience. So that part was easy for her, and then just kind of learning, you know, the reins of how I wanted things to go, choices, you know, that maybe I would make versus them. And then just, you know, having Aaron Hammond and Dustin Snyder on staff as well. Those guys have a completely different voice, which, again, is great to have. I don't want everybody to agree all the time. Need to have that camaraderie, but we also need to disagree and talk through things a lot. And that's something that I think our staff really excels at.
And while Coach Rosales was not necessarily coaching every day, I did see her. She was at almost every game. And that doesn't mean that if there was maybe a bad call she didn't agree with, that she wasn't up on her feet, making her displeasure known. How difficult was it at the same time? Obviously, you were excited about your new and growing family, but at the same time, you cared a lot about your Lady Hornet family as well. How hard was it to take your hands off last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be tough. It's something, you know, I've been a part of this program now for almost 20 years, and so it's very tough to just kind of hand it over. So, yeah, my wife and I tried to make it work to where we can make it to all the home games and bring the kids and hopefully allow the families, because they become part of our family as well, to kind of see our family grow as well. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's tough to sit on the sideline. To be on that side of the fence is a difficult task in itself, and you know, I really tried to stay off hands with the calls, even when I did this last year, just because I wanted to have a job to come back to after that. So I did try to stay a little bit more hands off. Now, my wife, on the other hand, completely different story. She was the same old at the fence. She's used to that side of the fence, and so she almost got me in trouble a couple times with her responses. But, you know, she wants us to win just as bad as I want to win, and so it's one of those things that it's a family affair for me. I started up in the press box with you guys those first couple games, and then my family kept coming. I mean, my family has come for years as supporters, and they kept coming even though I wasn't coaching to watch the girls, and so I wanted to make sure that I was able to sit and talk with them and watch, and you know, watch the girls and the team at the same time. So that's why I kind of moved myself down closer to the field eventually.
You mentioned a couple of newcomers that you hope will have an impact on the team, but talk a little more overall about the recruiting class coming in. Your thoughts about the class that you have.
The class that are freshmen this year, or the class that's coming in this 2025?
Coming in this year.
Yeah. Well, like I said, with Sid, she's a shortstop, quick, lefty. Slapper more than likely. I mean, she can swing away, but she'll do a little more damage probably just because of her speed with slapping. And then Taryn, those are my two big ones just because, again, they're kind of our typical quick, great defending good armed players that we've had in the last, you know, replacing Alexis Dyle is going to be tough, especially at that All-American that she earned last year. You know, but I think, you know, Taryn is going to be the closest that we have to that coming back as that transfer from Johnson County. And then as far as the pitching, we've got Jordan Harrison, I think, will play a little bit bigger role if we can keep her and Jada and Gracie healthy this year. I think that those guys are going to be big contributors, and Avery Brewer will be back. We might throw her in the outfield, which she's a first baseman a lot of the time, but with Haley Garnett back at first, we need to get both of those bats in the lineup. So I think that those guys are probably the ones that are going to really play the biggest role, and they may not be the freshmen. They're, like I said, they're returners, but those are guys that are inexperienced, in that Avery maybe, you know, DH'd for us a few times last year. She didn't play defense a ton, so we're going to have some of those learning pains and things, especially in the outfield with two of our three, well, all three of our starters out there are going to be new. And so, yeah, it's some of those things. Our freshmen, and we had some freshmen come in, but it's really going to be some of those sophomores that we had last year as freshmen that are going to have to step up for us and play some big roles.
Coach, you got to be excited for March 28th, because that's when you play your first home doubleheader at Turnbull Field. You guys are going to be road warriors starting at the end of this month, going down to Branson, then you go to Bentonville, Arkansas, you go to Topeka for a tournament, you go to the Kansas City area in Shawnee to play a tournament, then you open up MIAA play with the Oklahoma Swing with Roger State and Northeastern. And then over spring break, you get to go down to Florida.
Yeah, let's hope it's warm that week. This year's a little bit different. We decided not to host our home tournament, so that takes three home dates away from us that we typically have in February. And, you know, that changed the dynamic of our season a little bit with home versus away games. But we haven't played that tournament as scheduled in 7 years. So to me, it wasn't worth the mess it causes, and that goes for Dawn and everybody else that's on staff that helps me to run it. This year we're going to try not having it and going and playing some good competition elsewhere. And I mean, we have our fans everywhere, and that's the thing we hope to bring home away with us. And you know, playing in some of those closer tournaments like the Topeka and the Kansas City will hopefully allow for that to happen. And, you know, we've always had a really good parent following, and that's who, not, you know, that the girls love seeing their parents. And so the fact that we can stay closer to home, you know, and those guys still be there and stuff like that. And our other fans, you know, make the trip because it's only an hour and a half. Those were big decisions for me when I decided to go to those places.
We're talking with April Rosales. She is the head softball coach for the Lady Hornets. Coach, and as a general reminder, as we said earlier in the program, for baseball and softball fans, the schedule for baseball and softball in college is only a suggestion. It will change several times throughout the year. Coach, last thing for you here. You mentioned the batting order. Last year, your offense, it was the first time since 2015 that you guys had hit over 300, and you took a big step forward in offense. I mean, Alexis Dial hit like 150 points or more, better than she did the year before. Lexi Williams, Josie Harrison, Bailey Flewelling, all hitting over 350 last year. And as you mentioned, it's going to be almost a brand new batting order for you. What's the process that you're going to go through in terms of figuring out not where just to put people, but how to build this offense back up from mainly scratch?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I have all the trust in the world in Coach Hill. Like I've mentioned multiple times throughout this, she's our hitting coach. I mean, she has all of our home run records in the program, and so why not? When I hired her, you know, that was the first thing I did, was turn hitting over to her. And I completely trust in her philosophy. We tweaked some things in what I did, and I think, you know, the terminology and the wording that we use now with the girls made a huge difference last year. The biggest thing for us is going to be confidence. We have a team full of perfectionists, And unfortunately, our game is the complete opposite of that. And so how we respond to that failure and how quickly we respond to that failure is what's going to, you know, make or break our season. And that's something that we have to get drilled into our girls' heads. And that's a thing with females, too. Sometimes we try to be perfectionists all the time. But as soon as we can recover and almost retaliate, punch back is kind of what we talk about. Those are the things that are going to change our game and our program and take us to that next step. I mean, we were picked ninth last year and finished sixth, and I think that is a big testament to the work that our girls did.
2025 Lady Hornet softball starts with the Branson Leadoff Classic against Oklahoma Baptist and Truman State on Friday, January 31st. So, Coach, bundle up. Hope it's a great season for you. Of course, we do have some softball coverage planned on Mix 104.9, the voice of the Hornets. Coach, looking forward to the season. Thank you so much for the time, and stay safe in the weather this weekend there with the family.
Hey, thank you, and we appreciate you guys in the coverage and hope that for those five home dates that we are home, we get the biggest crowds we've had.
Let's do it. Yeah, the home opener, once again, is not until March 28th. There's only five home dates. Four will be in a row. But let's get out there to the Tressler Sports Complex and support the Lady Hornets. Thank you, Coach.
Of course. You guys have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you so much. And with that, it is time to turn things over to our last order of business. And that, of course, is Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. And Mitch, I know that the Chiefs kingdom is on the brink of a freeze, but they're hoping the offense doesn't freeze out this weekend in Denver.
Well, first of all, I thought you were going to tell me that Hornets had a home softball doubleheader this weekend against Alaska Fairbanks.
The weather people.
You know, there are no better – you guys know this because you've been around them enough. There are no better meteorologists, and I love meteorologists, not a slam on them, than baseball or softball coaches. Nope. They know the weather better than anyone. They can tell you, oh, no, it's not going to be that bad. We can get it in. I think we can get these two in. It's the scene on Caddyshack where, you know, the pastor's having the best round of his life, and I got to finish. And Bill Murray's, I think it's letting up a little bit, and then it starts hailing. That's baseball and softball coaches. The famous last words, I think we can get it in.
Right.
So, yeah. Go get him, Coach.
We've got a window, as they say. Well, Mitch.
I think we got about a 40-minute window.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Mitch, obviously a little bit different atmosphere this week, as you mentioned. Coach Reed turning things over for kind of a coaching training camp for coaches to get opportunity to be the head coach of their position as they look forward to the playoffs. What's the atmosphere been around the team during one of these weeks? And this is something that Coach Reed has had some practice at here over these last 5 years.
Yeah, honestly, Blake, it is a aura of anticipation and excitement. If anyone thinks the Chiefs are mailing this game in, they're wrong. Coach Reed made it very apparent to me, both on air on the Kingdom Show, if you heard at the end, and then privately, of like, hey, we're going out there to win. We may set a few guys, but we can't set everyone. We'll get into the math of that a second, because I think we need to probably educate the fans here about how the Chiefs will approach this game and how that you have to play starters. Everybody goes, well, they're setting their starters. Well, there's not enough guys to do that. But still, there's an air of excitement because guys will be put in roles, players. Well, they'll be given more responsibility than they've had. A guy like Jaden Hicks comes to mind, the rookie safety from Washington State. And then on the offensive side of the ball, guys are going to get opportunities more than they've had, especially on the offensive line. So there's a real feeling of excitement and anticipation, and yet I will give you another one later here in this discussion of why you got to be concerned if you're a Chiefs fan as well. The one area of concern in this game where the Chiefs could lose.
Well, Mitch, you mentioned the offensive line, and one guy that I did want to bring up, Joe Tooney. Man, what a guy! I mean, he probably is also the best left tackle on the team. By the way,
yeah.
Well, and I think and I've given you this analogy maybe a couple times, and Emporia is such a wrestling crazy town with such a great tradition, it resonates. But Joe Tooney has been the 167 wrestler wrestling 185. And you're like, man, we just don't want to forfeit that weight class and lose 6 points. Well, Tooney has done more than just fill the weight class. He's actually won a couple matches here against all-state wrestlers. That's what it's been. His technique, Tim, is so sound. He's just undersized. If you watch the video, you're going, oh, my gosh, you can't do this all the time. But, man, he's Miles Garrett, Neil Hunter, T.J. Watts was on the other side a lot from him. But still, he saved our bacon. To go through these three games in 11 days, this gauntlet we had, and to yield one sack in those three games. One. We got 12. Those three teams got one against arguably three of the top five pass-rushing teams in the NFL. You nailed it. Joe Tooney's been phenomenal.
Well, Mitch, I got to ask you about what Carson Wentz said. Is he wants to go out, and the goal this weekend is to have fun and just a lot of good opportunities for other guys to play with the starters resting. And you know, I'm motivated about Carson Wentz.
Oh, I've watched him. I've watched him since OTAs. Matt McMullen and I would watch OTAs and go, oh, my God, what do we got here? Because this guy's a starter. He is the best backup the Chiefs have ever had. Maybe, I don't know, Dave Livingston, not Dave Livingston, but back in Lenny Dawson's days, I don't know, that had to come fill in. But Carson Wentz can win this game. He can make every throw. He's a veteran. He's had 47 wins in his career and over 90 starts. He was the second overall pick in the draft, and he's kind of lived up to that draft status. I mean, he was barreling towards the NFL MVP award in 2017, and then he wrecked his knee. And hasn't quite been the same since, but he's really not had an awesome opportunity since. And this won't be the best of opportunities, but it's enough for Carson to get on the field and show what he's got. So, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are going out there to win and can win, and the main reason is that Carson Wentz will be the quarterback in this game.
Mitch Holthus is our guest, the voice of the Chiefs. Of course, we'll have the coverage for you coming up on Sunday on Country 101.7. You mentioned the numbers game in terms of the guys sitting, and people will colloquially throw around, oh, well, the starters are resting. That's not necessarily the case in the era of the roster sizes that they have. So I'll ask you, you mentioned you wanted to explain to the fans how all that's going to work, and I'll wrap it into this question. Who are you excited to see? What are you excited about seeing, given the fact that there are going to be some guys in some spots that are going to be getting opportunities like Carson is?
Okay, let's just do the math. There are 53 players right now on the current Chiefs roster as of now. There are two elevations you can have. The Chiefs will announce those elevations. Already announced one. Blake Lynch, who's a linebacker they picked up. He's formerly of the Chargers and Vikings. So there's one elevation. You have one more. I expect it to be Chris Oladokun so that Wentz has a backup. They don't want to have, if Wentz gets hurt, that Pat would have to go in an emergency situation and just run zero hole dives because they wouldn't do anything with Pat to risk him. So there's your two elevations. That puts you at 55. That means you're going to have seven inactive players an hour and a half before tomorrow's game, roughly 2 o'clock Central Time. Well, we pretty much know who that group is going to be. Some because of injuries, like Juwan Taylor, Isaiah Pacheco come to mind, but others because of coach's decision. So that leaves you with 48. Follow me on the math. That's 48. There will be starters that will play in this game. So when people say, hey, they're going to rest the starters, they will rest a few starters. They can only rest a few. You can guess maybe Kelce, Mahomes. You can kind of fill in the blanks, Bolton, but or Chris Jones. But think about who's going to play in this game. So a bunch of your starters will play. Some will play a lot. And it leads me to a concern. I'll get to the excitement point. Let's do the excitement. Then you can ask me about the concern.
Sure.
Excited on offense. You're still going to get, I mean, Hollywood Brown's going to get snaps in this game. But the guy I'm most excited about at wide receiver to see what he can do is Nico Remigio. He has been not to the level of Joe Tooney, Blake, as far as impact in this last three or four games of the season. But his role as a kick and punt returner has brought some dynamic nature to the game. At the least, it has brought great field position, but he also has a chance to burst one. And so he will get scrimmage snaps in this game, you know, quite a few. And with Carson Wentz throwing, he can run routes. I bragged on him in training camp. So I would say on offense, it would be Nico Remigio. And then defense, there are several. Felix Anudike Uzama had a sack against Pittsburgh, big-time sack on Russell Wilson. So can he build on that? He'll get a lot of snaps in this game. Local flavor, being a K-State dude. And then I mentioned Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks, the rookie from Washington State, will be given a role almost like Justin Reed in this game. So not only more snaps, but he will also have more responsibility. I'm excited for him.
All right, so Mitch, address your concerns for tomorrow.
So, Tim, it's the numbers game. Think of the numbers I just laid out, and hopefully everybody sipping coffee today or doing chores or running errands before the storm hits, they have a whole different feeling of this game now. Starters will play. A lot of starters will play. Some will not. Let's just, okay, we got that clear. Because of that, and I did a minute with Mitch on it this week. You guys air that.
We do.
And it's also Channel 13 shows it. But hear me out on this one. So take that 48 guys you've got. Well, three of those are a kicker, snapper, punter. Or punter, kicker, whatever, those three. So Butker, Ariza, Winchester, take them off the board. Now you're at 45. So Carson Wentz is one of those, 44. Oladokun, 43. Now you're getting down to just a few dudes. But anytime, hear me out, Juju Smith-Schuster didn't play special teams. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play special teams. Xavier Worthy doesn't play special teams. And so you go right down the line. They say D-Hop. Yeah, so D-Hop, Juju, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood. Those guys don't play special teams. Running backs, Pacheco doesn't play special teams, nor does Kareem Hunt. That leaves you, and usually on an NFL roster, it'd be one of those wide receivers and one of those running backs would be a 2 to 4 core special teams player. Where does that put the Chiefs in peril in this game? Linebackers, where they're already razor thin, and defensive backs, because they will play the bulk of the special teams. I'll give you another one, Samaje Perine. Samaje Perine is going to play a lot in this game. Well, I've sat here and barked about how important he's been to this team, both in direct and sublime ways. Well, he's going to have to play special teams, too. There's not enough guys. So Brian Cook, Jaden Hicks, a guy like Cam Jones will play almost 100 snaps in this game tomorrow. You've got to keep those guys healthy for the playoffs because they, in any game, this game or any game, are the crux of the matter in special teams. And special teams many times will decide a postseason game.
Mitch Holtis joins us every Saturday during the season. Brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity, terms and conditions apply. Subject to credit approval, NMLS number 424-226. Of course, your home for Chiefs football on the Chiefs Radio Network, Country 101.7. 2 o'clock for the pregame, 3:25 for the kickoff. The Chiefs at Mile High taking on the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Travel safe, Mitch. You let me know. We get you on the bye week?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well,
yes.
Love to have you back on. Have a safe trip.
I was not going to. And then Tim, you know how Tim is. He's like, dude, you're going to be on this. I'm like, oh, okay. So
drill sergeant.
Absolutely. Well, I feel like we got to do what we did last year. I mean, that seemed to work out pretty well in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. We got to keep that rolling because we're chasing history. And, boys, I'll just say this. We got a real shot at pulling it off. Not saying we will, but we got a shot. This bye gives us this chance of setting these guys to some guys. Gives us a chance of pulling off. And not just something that will be big in the NFL. You'll hear me say it over the course of the next month if we stay rolling. It will be one of the biggest things in all of American sport history to win this 3 in a row. So, yeah, we're on it, boys. Let's do it.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. See you guys.
And thanks, just Mitch. To think that, you know, we were that close, you know, just a second ago, it feels like, thinking, God, are they ever going to win a playoff game? And now they're on the brink of doing something that would be the most – I agree with them. I mean, this would be – would this be the greatest achievement in the history of North American professional sports?
Well, particularly, I mean, it's never been done in the NFL.
Yeah, they've won three straight NFL championships.
Yes.
That was the Packers.
Right.
But obviously, in the Super Bowl era. Never been done, and we know how difficult winning, even just back-to-back, even getting to back-to-back Super Bowls, how difficult that has proven to be over the NFL era. What were we on, 50, 60 years of the NFL now? Or 75, whatever it is, you know, of the actual Super Bowl era of the NFL. It's so hard to do. And the fact that the Chiefs have made all these straight AFC championship games, it might be. Now, there's a lot of football. There's a lot of football we got to get through before then. And, of course, that it comes up starting on Sunday with the Chiefs and the Broncos, once again, on Country 101.7. Coming up today on the KVOE network of stations, and by the way, you can get our full schedule online on our calendar, KVOE.com/calendar, KVOE.com/calendar. If you're going to be locked or frozen inside your house this weekend, just make sure you got power. You got us. We got you covered. Why do you need to go anywhere? We have got football and basketball for you today. Kansas State at TCU on Country 101.7, 2 o'clock pregame today. We've got the NFL doubleheader for you today from Westwood One, Browns-Ravens at 3:30. Following that, Bengals-Steelers today. I've got the Hornet Sports Network for you. Turnpike Tussle, 1 o'clock pregame. The men tip at 1:40, and we'll have the women after that today on Mix 104.9 and the Hornet Sports Network. Then tomorrow, we've got the Jayhawks at Central Florida, 3 o'clock for the tip-off there, 1:30 pregame on KVOE. We've talked to you about Chiefs-Broncos, 2 o'clock on Country 101.7. And then we've got one of the biggest Game 272s that we've ever had, Vikings at Lions, for the number one overall seed in the NFC playoffs, Sunday Night Football on KVOE, so you don't really need to go anywhere.
Nope.
Just get your radio on us. We've got you covered with what else would you want? It's the perfect weekend to get frozen in, because we've got all the sports that you could ever possibly need on KVOE and our network of stations. So hope that you guys enjoy it. Stay safe this weekend. Appreciate it. I will talk to you.
Same.
You do as well, Tim. Thank you.
Hopefully you get out of Y Auditorium before all the mess hits.
I don't know. They're saying, from what Chuck has been saying, I'm kind of doubting that. But you know what? I'll already be there, so it's all good. I only have to slide down the road just a couple. I don't live too far away, so we'll be fine. But really appreciate it. Everybody out there listening today, stay safe if you have to travel. If you don't, then probably shouldn't. And for those of you of the black and gold persuasion, I will talk to you this afternoon from White Auditorium. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Tim. This is KVOE Emporia. We'll get you back to the Infinity Sports Network right after this. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbyAuto.com. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Brian Radke here from Westwood One, the final regular season game of the year.